Acts chapter 4, Acts chapter 8. And verse 29. Acts 8, verse 29. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. God is leading here. Acts 10, verses 19 and 20. Peter has seen the vision of the sheet with the unclean animals. While Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said unto him, behold, three men seek thee. Arise, therefore, and get thee down, and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. Very clearly, God is leading. Acts 13, verse 4. Here's the church at Antioch. And in verse 2, 13:2, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed into Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. Turn to Acts 16 and verse 6. Now, when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia, and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia, God told them, now is not the time to preach. God was leading them both where to go, what to say, and when not to say things. God is leading. However, as you look in the next verses, verses 7 to 10, this is what's known as the Macedonian call. God is directing him to go to Macedonia and reach the people with the good news that Jesus Christ saves. God is directing. Now I'd like you to turn to Acts 18. Acts chapter 18, beginning at verse 18. And Paul, after this, tarried there yet a good while, and then took his leave of the brethren, and sailed thence into Syria, and with him Priscilla and Aquila, having shorn his head in Crenshia, for he had made a vow. And he came to Ephesus and left them there, but he himself entered into the synagogue and reasoned with the Jews. When they desired him to tarry longer time with them, he consented not, but bade them farewell, saying, I must by all means keep this feast that cometh in Jerusalem, but I will return again unto you if God will. And he sailed from Ephesus. In these verses, do we see anywhere where God has led them? The Holy Spirit led them. I feel led of the Lord. Does it say that here? Is God leading them when to sail, when not to sail? Oh, you're silent again. We don't see that there. It's obvious. We don't see the Holy Spirit saying, sail here, do not stay, continue on. It's not here. The apostles are ordinary people that God chose to serve him. They're ordinary people. It may very well be the apostles' desire, number one desire in their life, I want to serve the Lord where he leads me. But we don't see the other things in the Bible. It's not here. Paul may have had goals that he set. When I enter into a city, I want to accomplish this and this and this. The first goal is to go into the synagogue and preach to the Jews. And then my next goal is the people of the city. And he says, if I can't accomplish that, perhaps I will move on to other places where I can accomplish my goals for the Lord Jesus Christ. I want his name preached everywhere I go. These are my goals. This is how I want to serve the Lord. And you know, the same thing can apply to every one of us here. We all have different abilities. We all have different gifts. I went to business school and told the Lord 2 years, I can't be a missionary. Lord, you cannot use me. When I went to a missions conference and the Lord hit me over the head when a speaker said, you know, we need doctors and carpenters, mechanics, as well as preachers, and we need business people. Okay, Lord, I'll turn my education back over to you. I want to serve you with the education you've given me. And when I went to Ghana, the very first field meeting I went to, the missionary said, here's the money. Here's the report. They match. But I don't know what it means. They study the Word of God. They know how to preach it. But business, they're not real conversed with that. We want to reach the souls for the Lord through His Word. But yet God can use any one of us in our gifts. God may call you to the mission field. We know, Nancy and I, beyond a shadow of a doubt, He called us to Ghana. He made it very clear when we were to leave Ghana and go to Brazil. And we said we want to use these gifts. And in Brazil, He's really changed our life. And now He's moved us into a church rescue ministry. We're helping churches reestablish the foundation upon Jesus Christ. The church that we've been helping had 100 people in the church when they had a national pastor. But after 2 years without a pastor, they were down to 40 people, very discouraged, very divided. And there's many churches in the Fortaleza area like that. Nancy and I said, Lord, we know you want us here. This is what we would like to accomplish for you. These are our gifts, and we want to give you the glory through them. And God can do the same through every one of you. Just as He knew the people in the wilderness, just when they turned their head to look in the direction of that pole with the serpent, God knows the desire of your hearts. He knows who are His, who have received Jesus Christ to live within Him, who want to use their life to glorify God, and then set the goals to use your own abilities, accomplishing these things for the Lord. God can do it. I'd like you to turn back to Acts 17. Acts 17, verse 5, I believe it is. Things don't always go easy. Not easy all the time. But the Jews, which believed not, moved with envy, took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort, and gathered a company, and set all the city in an uproar, and assaulted the house of Jason, and sought to bring them out to the people. We can have problems here in the States, as well as we can have problems overseas. Don't be afraid to reach people in a different culture. Or don't be afraid to reach out to people of a different culture here in the States. God can use you. I can't believe that God has used Nancy and I. I know I've told you my testimony before. My great-grandmother was raped when she was 21 and had a child, which was my grandmother. My great-grandmother treated her like an unwanted child. And my grandmother grew up patterning her life after her mother. And when she had a child, she treated her child, my mother, as an unwanted child. God can use even someone like me with a history like that. And my mom, she would say, don't be a missionary. Pastors and missionaries are the worst things you could ever be, living off of other people's money. That's the worst job. You need to have a real job here in the States. Mom, I know what God has done in my life. She made me so discouraged in my life, so unhappy, that when I was a junior in high school, I tried to commit suicide. And the Lord reached down and He saved my life that day. And 3 months later, in October of 74, I prayed and accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. The Lord is the one that has changed my life. And I knew I had to follow Him. And I want to give Him the glory in all that we do. It's been amazing to see God working. Like I said, if He can use someone like me, someone like Nancy, stumbling all over right now. This is not the year she fell apart. This is the year she's getting back together again. We got her new glasses. And she goes back to the doctor. I don't like these new glasses. They're all spotty. I can't get them clean. Nancy, that's your cataracts. They're bad enough. They need to come out. So that's another surgery this year. And she's got some pinched nerves. That needs to be done this year. And then she'll be all put back together again so we can work for 20 more years. Isn't that nice? Let me see. Acts 19. I got to get back on the message here. Acts 19. Acts 19, verse 21. After these things were ended, Paul purposed in the Spirit, when he had passed through Macedonia and Achaia, to go to Jerusalem, saying, after I have been there, I must also see Rome. And as I studied these verses right here, all the commentators, the Greek word is both the Holy Spirit and an individual spirit. But all the commentaries say, right here, Paul purposed in his spirit. This is his idea to go to Jerusalem. This is his idea, not the leading of the Lord. But God still used that. But look at Acts 21. Acts 21. Acts 21, verse 4. And finding disciples, we tarried there 7 days, who said to Paul, through the Holy Spirit, that he should not go up to Jerusalem. Here it is very clearly, the Holy Spirit telling Paul not to go to Jerusalem. Where did Paul go? He went to Jerusalem. Does it look like Paul is going against the Lord? God still worked through Paul. And later in these verses, we see someone takes a belt, binds his hands, and says, if you go, this is how you are going to go to Rome as a prisoner. It would seem that Paul is going against God's will. But this was Paul's desire in his heart to bring glory to God no matter how things worked out. And we know that when he was taken prisoner from Jerusalem, we have many letters as a prisoner, many good words that God has given to people because Paul suffered as a prisoner. For Christians, it's not always easy, but God can bring glory through each one of us if we are willing to give our talents over to Him. We set goals that want to bring glory to God. When we went back to Brazil this term, we set a goal. We would like to start a church. We'll start with the children. After working with the children and dealing with the parents, we'll start with an adult Bible study. We had goals. They were going well, but the Lord did have other plans. At this time, I'd like to take you and let you see how the Lord worked through us in this past term. And you have been a great help to us through this work that the Lord has been doing. Hopefully, I'll get the clicker to work right. When you hear Brazil, what comes to mind? Perhaps the Cristo Redentor or Christ the Redeemer statue, or carnival, which is colorful, but the days are filled with every sin you can imagine. Maybe you think of the Amazon with piranhas, houseboats, and villages. What about the beaches? Or more importantly, futsal. Okay. What about the beaches? Or more importantly, futsal, reminding us of the Olympics and Brazil winning the gold medal. However, there is so much more. Brazil has been described as one of the fastest developing countries in the world, some suggesting that the country's currency join a group of three other nations' currencies to replace the U.S. dollar for world commerce. In the midst of this, the country has been hit with political scandal as the country's oil company, Petrobras, bribed politicians to obtain loans, causing a U.S. $170 billion debt for the company. If Brazil is forced to pay the debt of their oil company, the entire country will be bankrupt. Already, the scandal has put the economy into a deep recession and deepening the divide between the working class and the rich, causing the impeachment of the president of Brazil. If you thought politics this last year was bad, in Brazil it is so much worse. The vice president who became president is under investigation for the same scandal. The president of the Senate, same scandal. The president of the House, under investigation, the same scandal. It is a mess in Brazil. Deepening the problem, the government used Petrobras as a cash cow to pay government workers. Already, the government has been forced to stop tax payments to the state of Rio de Janeiro. The state of Rio was forced to choose between paying workers to finish the World Cup and Olympic venues or paying teachers, doctors, and Social Security. The state chose the Olympics over the people and even had to ask for huge sums of money from the federal government to be able to pay the Olympic workers. During these difficult times, people turned to the Catholic Church only to be disappointed. As a result, attendance in these churches has declined significantly. However, the teaching of the church continues to permeate society. People still repeat, "Only God knows who is saved. I cannot know about my salvation because I am not sure if my good works are good enough to get me into heaven." Praise the Lord, He loves us and does not want our good works. Yet they continue to go to the cemetery the 2nd of November to light candles and pray for dead family members so God will release them from purgatory. The one unifying factor of the upper class and the working class is the fact that Brazilians are concerned. People in our church have even commented that if Petrobras discontinues payments to the states of Rio and Sao Paulo, it would bring to a halt the paying of their people and the entire country would fail. Just as we are concerned about the results of the elections here in the States, Brazilians are concerned about the possible complete destruction of their country. However, hanging over all of this is a sense of hopelessness, with many turning to gangs, drugs, and robbery to cope with life. It's not unusual to hear gunshots or fireworks used to cover the sound of a gun. In fact, according to the government's own statistics, someone is murdered every 10 minutes in our state or in Fortaleza due to crime-related activity. This is just a part of everyday life in Fortaleza, but God protects. Even though we experience many things, including drive-by shootings leaving bullet holes in our outer wall, we know God has called us to serve Him and share the gospel, giving hope to the people of Fortaleza, Brazil. It was not easy to learn a new language and culture. We were the second oldest people our language helper had. But God has given us a love for Brazil and the Brazilians. We know we are in a battle with Satan, but we praise the Lord that he is always with us, and we feel safe and secure in his will, rejoicing that we can serve Jesus Christ no matter what happens. Fortaleza is Brazil's fifth largest city with 3.5 million people. It is a very modern city by American standards and is on the tropical coast of the Atlantic, approximately 4 degrees south of the equator. And I'm ready to move to Florida and go away from Michigan, even though we got to travel up to Michigan tomorrow. Fortaleza has a well-developed infrastructure. It has museums, shopping malls. I couldn't believe in this shopping mall. I saw a father carrying this small electric car, and his 3-year-old son hopped in it and began driving around the mall. And then we went to find a present for a child in the church, went to a toy store, and here was the same car selling for the equivalent of $1,000. People have money, but the poor and the working class really struggle every day. We have nightlife along the Beira Mar in the center of the city where they sell the curios and the handmade items. And many, many restaurants where Brazilians eat their noon meal, which is the main meal of the day. When you come to visit us, we will take you to the churrascaria with a never-ending stream of grilled meat on a skewer, but they cut it paper thin for you as much as you want. We may live in the city, but many animals become a part of everyday life, and we still get to deal with tarantulas, scorpions, and lizards that make life exciting. When we returned in 2012, we set out to find a house to rent that could also be used in ministry. The Lord led us to a house with a nice large porch and a little yard. We were excited about the house as it was a perfect to start a children's ministry that could possibly lead to the establishment of a church. And remember that porch. After renting the house, we found out why the street on one side of the house was choked with houses. It was the favela or slum that had outgrown itself, so the people started building houses right on that street for several blocks, putting the favela right on the other side of our wall. After getting settled in the house, we started the Children's Bible Club. We were really pleased with the 50-plus children at the first meeting. We always kept the door to the yard open so the parents could see what these crazy foreigners were doing. The parents, for safety's sake, always walked their children everywhere. So every Saturday, we actually had two groups hearing the Word of God. The children and the parents that escorted them listened from the sidewalk on the other side of our wall and watched for any danger. Several times a parent would close our gate, telling us trouble was near, an assault happened here, someone over here has a gun. We thank the Lord for the time with the children and rejoice that some received Jesus as Savior. Bible Club also gave us a great opportunity to make contacts with the parents. In August of 2013, we started an adult Bible study with a chicken dinner and 30 parents in attendance. And I thought, the parents want better children. So I wanted to start by telling them, you have to be better parents, and giving them the roadmap of what God wanted for a marriage. And the moment I mentioned the wife submit to the husband, one lady shouted, there's no way I'm submitting to my husband. But when the food stopped, the adults stopped coming. Once again, in March of 2013, we saw God's hand of protection. I suddenly remembered that we promised a hospital visit, so we hurried out of the house. When we returned 45 minutes later, there was quite a commotion in front of our house with a flood of people, police, and a fire truck coming behind us. It was our house. The new refrigerator we bought just 6 months earlier had exploded. The fire was so hot it cracked the cement wall behind the fridge and blew the door across the room, standing it up against the wall. It melted all of the kitchen cabinets, removed cement from the room next door, and melted the ceiling fan next to the kitchen. Praise the Lord, we had insurance, but it took 2.5 months to gather all the documents required before they would begin to process the claim. 8 months later, we couldn't take it any longer, living in one bedroom that was not damaged, and that nice porch we had, that's all we could live in. The landlord refused to settle with insurance to fix the house and make it livable for us. We found out later he wanted to come back and take the house, and he wanted to force us out of the house. And that air conditioner hanging on the wall was right above my head when I remembered we had the hospital visit. And we hurried out of the house. We turned all the air conditioners off. Everything was turned off when that refrigerator blew up. Our house was in that circle. And we asked the parents to look for another place nearby our house so we could continue the Bible club and adult Bible study, even with the few adults that remained. But they could not find a safe place for us. I asked them about the field to the southeast of our house. And they said, no, that's where many drug deals happen. That is not safe. The Lord was closing the door for us in that area of Fortaleza. We spent much time in prayer for a house and new ministry. Right after signing a lease in a different house, the Lord opened the door to help a struggling church, Igreja Batista Regular Giliagi, or Giliagi Regular Baptist Church, about 45 minutes from our new home. If the Lord had just reversed that by a few days, we would have looked for a house closer to that church. They had been without a pastor for 2 years, and attendance had fallen considerably. They really needed help, but wanted to grow in the Lord and remodel the pastor's housing to the right of the yellow room to make it more livable. The bathroom was bigger than the kitchen. They said they could not afford both the remodel and the pastor's salary. The Lord laid it on our hearts to help them for the few months before Jenny's wedding. At least we thought it would be just a few months. In February 2014, we're in a battle with Satan. Nancy fell down the stairs in our house, breaking a bone in her leg near the ankle. But God also works everything together for good. I'm not exactly sure what good there was in Nancy's broken leg, but Satan certainly used it to delay our return to Fortaleza and Giliagi that needed help. When we arrived in the church, they seemed very divided and discouraged. It was encouraging to hear that they were united about the desire to start a daughter church and had already started the project in a deacon's house. It was biblical to have the outreach, and we did all we could to encourage them with that project. We went out before the street meeting talking to people about Jesus Christ, and I met this man, a Catholic, and had a very good conversation with him. But then I had to get back to the deacon's house for the street meeting. I went back to him later. This time I met him and the wife. And when talking with the Bible and quoting the Bible verses, the wife was just shouting at me and the deacons that were with me. She was very Catholic and did not want to hear anything of God's word. Another man, I talked to him about Jesus Christ. What's the difference between you and the demons? Or you and the people in Matthew chapter 7 that says, look at all the wonderful works that we've done. And Jesus responds, depart from me, for I never knew you. And we had a good conversation, but the more he began to see that it was salvation through faith in Jesus Christ, I think the Lord was convicting his heart, and he began to see the deception that Satan had been working in his life. And the conflict in his life began to cause him to become angry. And the deacon that was with me said, "We need to go. We'll come back another time." It has been great to be able to share God's word and see people working in people's hearts. I took much time in the church preaching on Corinthians, teaching the basic Bible doctrines and how to witness, and we saw God working. But after working with them for several months, we began to realize they are not ready to start a daughter church. They need to become a full-fledged church first before they reach out to other areas. And then I met resistance. They would be willing to go 5 kilometers, 50 miles away to share the gospel, but right around the church, no one would come for visitation. That's something else I want to work on with them if the Lord leads us back to them. And I was meeting with the deacons regularly and talking things out, rather than on the go as they had been doing, which brought united decisions from the deacons. This helped start uniting the church as a whole, and the people became excited about the Lord again. Nancy was able to start a children's church program and get materials together for the teachers to use while we are absent. We had special discipleship times with the young people of the church at our home over different weekends. I with the young men and Nancy with the young girls. At the end of January 2016, we received a gift of almost $7,000 to help remodel the church and pastor's housing to achieve a goal of the church. The moment we received the gift, we began to purchase materials, so everything was on hand for the work. We were rushing against time as we prepared for furlough beginning in April. Once the supplies were on hand, the work began, and once again I acted as contractor and worker to speed the work along. The church had no windows for ventilation, so part of the gift was to put windows with thief bars in the church. Thieves broke in the old windows that didn't have iron rods in it, and so the church was extremely hot. This window helped with the heat in a very small way, but to really feel a difference, 6 more windows are still needed. And just think, no windows with temperatures 85 to 90 degrees. With the remodel, the church needed to relocate the kitchen and make a new one. Nancy enjoyed having a budget for purchasing the sink, faucet, tiles, and paint for the new kitchen. And no, that's not the new paint, but it's all done now. Trying to speed the work along for the actual remodel, I was the carpenter making all forms for the concrete and the wrecking crew, as several walls had to be removed and several openings made for windows and doors. Plus, when I was on site, the workers worked. By the time we left, the structure was completely done and the electrical channels for the wiring were almost done. And the wall above the mason, I tore out the bottom part, and I just was going at it as much as I could when suddenly the mason yelled at me, said, "Stop, stop, you keep going, the roof's going to fall in on you." And he started calling me to the destroyer after that. All that remained was some plumbing and cement plastering over the clay blocks and painting. We hear it is now completely finished and ready for a pastor and his family. There were other things we would like to have accomplished with the church before we left, like a constitution, but it was time for furlough. We pray for God's will in their calling of a national pastor. If the Lord delays in giving them a pastor, we will be happy to continue ministering with them, accomplishing more things within the church for the Lord, and helping them through the process of calling a pastor in God's perfect timing. However, if they have a pastor, when we return, there are many churches in the Fortaleza area that are struggling and asking for help. The Lord has laid this burden on our hearts and is leading us to work with these churches. So the next time you hear of Brazil, please pray for us. Tim and Nancy Pierce. Despite any difficulties we might face, there is joy in serving the Lord and reaching out to the people in the Fortaleza area with the gospel, love, and hope that can only be found in Jesus Christ. Okay, Nancy. You get 2 minutes, Nancy.
We are very thankful to you for all that you've done for us. And I really like the verse.
Time's up.
That you're learning in Ephesians 3:20. You know, exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think. Is that how it goes? I think so. I've said that verse over and over in prayer for a long time now. The first time I ever grabbed a hold of that verse and really prayed with that verse in mind was when I had met Tim and he was a confirmed bachelor and said, I'm never getting married. And I kept thinking, Lord, you say that you can do exceedingly abundantly. So he didn't have a chance 33 years ago. But it's true. The Lord can do so much, and yet he blesses us and lets us be a part of his ministry here on earth. And like Tim said, if the Lord can use him and myself, the Lord can use anybody. You know, we're nobody special. I grew up in a little farming community in Michigan. And who would have ever thought I would have been in Ghana, Africa, and been in Brazil serving as a missionary. But it's a joy to be able to take God's word to the people there. And you see the people that are lost, and your heart just breaks. You see the people as they're passing by the Catholic Church, whether they're riding on a bus or whatever, and they cross themselves. You see them when they go in and they touch the saints. In their homes, they have large tables with their saints on them. And you think, I've heard somebody say, you know, these people are crazy. They said the same thing about the Ghanaian people and their idols. But they're not crazy because they see the power of Satan. Satan is powerful. He's not all powerful, but he's powerful and he's a deceiver. And it's wonderful to be able to take God's word and tell these people they don't have to be imprisoned anymore, fearing that they're not doing enough, fearing their good works are not good enough. Because it's nothing what we did, it's what Christ did on the cross when he died for our sins. And it's just a joy to be able to share that with them and to be able to see them when the light goes on and they realize how free they can be in Christ. So we just want to thank you so much for supporting us, for praying for us. These obstacles, as we met with our home church and the missions committee says, what do you see about these obstacles? You know, the fire, the this, the that, your knee surgeries, all of this. Do you see the Lord telling you that maybe you shouldn't go back? And, you know, we don't see them as obstacles, really. They haven't slowed us down. We had the fire the very 3 days after it, I think. We had Children's Bible Club. You know, it didn't stop us. 2 weeks after my first knee surgery, I was laying in the back of our van on an inflatable mattress with my foot up in the air going to a missions conference. So we just thank the Lord that he sees fit to use us and that he gives us the joy of serving him.
I know I'm keeping you later beyond six. I'm sorry of that. Does anyone have any question you'd like to ask of either of us? Yes. I think safety. A deacon was turning over the money. He was also treasurer. He was turning it over to the new treasurer. And he was assaulted, and all the church's money was stolen, about $3,000. The Lord has been very gracious to us. We have not been personally assaulted. Another deacon was riding the bus, and somebody sitting next to him pulled out a gun. And the people next to him on the seat, he took their identity, their wallets, their phones, everything. And so it is a rough place. I saw a list of 50 cities, the most dangerous in the world. Fortaleza is number 8 on the city. Other cities in Brazil are a little higher up, and I'm thinking, how can that be when there's places like Syria and the Middle East? But yet on this list, Fortaleza is number 8. We've had drive-by shootings, so safety is primary concern. Nancy's health, that everything goes well. We went for a follow-up after the corrective surgery, and the PA said something that I don't think she was supposed to say. If this surgery doesn't work, he may have to take the hardware out and put a new hardware in. I don't know if that's going to cause a delay in our return, but all in the Lord's perfect timing. The doctor says you've got to get up and walking and get muscles renewed in the legs, and then we'll see about possible surgery again. So safety in Brazil and Nancy's health. Any other questions?
I think it's time to come home.
Oh, no. We've got 20 more years that we can go. She's got new knees.
I think America needs help,
too. Oh, yes. Very much so. God must be calling you here in the States. Pastor, I'd like you to come. I know I told you we are very grateful. We have a token of our appreciation. This is just a token. This is a model of a jangada, the fishing boats that go out into the Atlantic. When you see this, remember two things. We're all in the same boat together, fishing for the souls of men. And we are very thankful for you. Thank you all very much. Pastor?
Thank you so much. Well, amen. Well, would you stand with me, please? Thank you, Brother Ms. Pierce. Now, in a minute, when we dismiss, Ms. Pierce, we're not going to make you walk all the way to the table back there. You stay right there, and church, come and see her. Brother Pierce, we're going to make you walk all the way back there. And so make sure you see both of these folks, and we're so grateful to be partners with you. Thank you for this. This is something that's just so neat. And, you know, I'll tell you, it is true. We're all in the same boat together. God puts, and God is a God that is far beyond our ability to comprehend, but God providentially in his will puts every one of us in different places in life. Because that's the place that he has for us to become disciples of the Lord and to reach others and to, through those who come to the Lord, then as they become disciples that reproduce disciples. And we've been able to be a partner with the Pierces in that endeavor for 20 years in two different places. And I'm grateful for that partnership and grateful that that Brother Ms. Pierce could be with us tonight. And may God protect them. And Dr. Humphreys asked a wonderful question. How can we pray? What were the two requests that Brother Pierce said? What were they? The first one was safety. The 8th most dangerous city in the world. Boy, that is remarkable, isn't it? And then let's pray for Ms. Pierce's health. So what we're going to do tonight is we're going to be dismissed with prayer. And here's a novel idea. We're going to pray for their request. Would that be all right with you? All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. And then I hope you have just a wonderful God-honoring week, that the Spirit of God would enable you in your walk with him and give you power in your life, and that God the Spirit would enable you in your witness in this week, and that one person you're praying for to come to the Lord. So let's pray together. Lord, Brother and Ms. Pierce have asked prayer in a very specific way, and it is with joy that we come on behalf of them in the name of Jesus Christ to pray for them. And this term has been an interesting term. How you've worked is has been challenging, certainly. And as Brother Pierce has shared and Ms. Pierce have shared, you are a God that has helped them in every way. And so we ask, O Lord, on their behalf for the two requests specifically that they ask prayer for. And then so we pray for their safety in this city that is a dangerous place. We pray, O Lord, that their lives and the ministry that you've given them would be a light in that place, and that through it many would come to the Lord. And so work on their behalf, protect them, we pray, O God. And then we're praying for Ms. Pierce's health, and we're asking God for you to help in this regard as well. So we pray for this. And then thinking of the church that is there, they've been serving, and they need a pastor, a faithful brother. We pray that you would raise up a Brazilian brother who would faithfully shepherd that church and lead well for the Great Commission to be fulfilled through that church. And as you would have it, Lord, we're trusting for your direction for that church and for the Pierces. And as the time that you have and the wisdom that you give, guide them, we pray. And whatever that next step is in the next place or continuing to help in the church they've been serving, we pray, Lord, your will to be done. We know that you're able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. And so we ask that glory would be made in their lives and in your congregation and in ours, for Jesus Christ's sake. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Good.